Hacker, Hater, Hero, Spy. Chapter 3. Lena lets out a string of profanity, sounding more Irish than Kara has ever had the pleasure of hearing her sound before. The timer on the bomb has started counting down again, and this time with only 30 seconds left to go. Lena is a fair bit more panicked this time.
30 seconds,
she says, as she starts to hyperventilate.
Kara, I can't. All these people.
The sun. Alex is shrieking in Kara's ear, toss it into the sun. But Kara can't do that. Not when Lena is right here. There has to be a way to do this without ruining their blossoming friendship. In a moment of what even Kara can't decide is brilliance or complete insanity, she wonders if she could get away with eating this stupid thing. After all, she is still starving. And doesn't it look like it would taste exactly like a hunk of extra spicy cheddar? Unfortunately, Kara doesn't get a chance to find out. Before she registers what's happened, Lena has snatched up the tasty-looking bomb and kicked off her heels, and she's running. When Kara's mind and body finally catch up to her, Lena is shooing what remains of the catering staff from their tent.
The walk-in freezer,
Lena gasps out.
We can use it as a blast chamber.
God, she's good, Wynn says.
Glad you figured that out,
Kara yells at him. Lena gives her a feral, wild-eyed grin as she seals the bomb inside the freezer, propping the doors shut with an ash shovel, while Kara yells for everyone to evacuate the lawn. Lena leaves the tent long seconds after the scattering staff. Kara runs behind her, her hands on Lena's hips to covertly lengthen her strides, propelling her forward faster. She wants, very desperately, to pick Lena up, wants to fly her out of danger, but she can't. Not while she's Kara Danvers. Not with all these witnesses around. And not while she's pretending to be the human woman who Lena had chosen to kiss back. When the
pop-boom
blasts out behind them, they're still close enough to feel the earth shudder beneath their feet. For some unfathomable reason, Lena slows down and turns around. She's pulled something from the front of her dress.
Lipstick? At a time like this?
And she's pointing it over Kara's shoulder.
Get down!
Kara shouts at her. But Lena's body is already lurching, pitched backward by the shockwave, rushing at the ground. Kara plucks her from the air, wrapping her arms around her and flipping her belly down into the grass, careful to give her the gentle landing she deserves.
It's okay, Kara promises herself.
Lena is going to be okay. She spreads out on top of her, covering her body with the full breath of her own, just before the ballroom windows explode in a glittering shower of glass. Debris rains down around them, tufts of uprooted grass and glittering shards and small warped pieces of metal, all bouncing harmlessly off Kara's body. Lena is unharmed. She's breathing shallowly under Kara's weight, her heart pattering wildly in her chest, but she's all right. Kara has protected her from all of it. Or maybe... Kara frowns as she blinks back over her shoulder, stunned.
Lena,
she says.
Was that giant fluorescent force field around the caterer's tent there before?
Lena gasps into the grass.
It's still a prototype, she rasps. I may have miscalculated its blast-resistant capabilities a bit.
Alex grumbles over the comms. Mathematical genius, my ass.
Are you kidding? Wynn exclaims, that is awesome. Wait, can we do a Zoom call real quick?
Kara's eyes sweep the ballroom bordering the garden, quickly scanning each individual guest, but aside from a couple of minor cuts and bruises, there are no injuries. In fact, it looks like the only casualty tonight is Mount Champagne, which lies in ruins at their feet.
You saved them, Kara breathes.
She lifts herself off Lena, staring at her, slack-jawed, as she helps her upright.
You saved everyone.
Lena hisses, lifting her other foot this time, and Kara winces when she remembers Lena isn't wearing shoes.
Just barely,
Lena says, plucking a small piece of glass from her heel. Kara's chest aches at the single drop of red pearling at the cut.
I didn't think.
Lena's brow furrows as she flicks the shard into the grass, taking in the devastation around them.
My barrier didn't hold,
she says, her eyes tracing Kara's features before scanning down the rest of her body.
How do we not have a scratch on us? There's debris everywhere. Kara stares at her. I get lucky, she flounders. Like, a lot.
Lena lets out a bark of laughter before shaking her head with a disbelieving smile.
I bet you do.
Oh, for fuck's sake, Alex says, sounding tired and utterly done.
I'm sorry I kissed you, Kara says. I normally ask.
Lena is looking steadier by the second, despite the fact that she's balancing on only one leg.
Don't be, she says, her voice smooth and rich, like coffee buttercream.
At any other time, I would have said yes. Lena's words spark up a quickly spreading heat in Kara's body, a firestorm that rivals the scorching blast winds that passed over their heads a minute ago.
They kissed, Kara relishes,
and if Lena's words are any indication, it's something that at some point in the future may actually happen again. It's a little hard for Kara to focus on anything other than how to make any other time mean right now. Which explains why she doesn't notice a tall shadow separating itself from the line of cypress trees lining the lawn until Lena's posture stiffens. The figure towers over them, elegant, impeccably dressed, and completely terrifying. It's the woman who had flirted with Kara at the dessert table earlier. Or rather, had somehow convinced Kara she was flirting with her, brandishing an alien shotgun that looks like it's carved from bone. Her gaze follows the president's convoy as it swiftly evacuates the premises, and then she fixes it on them. Her tone is vicious when she snarls.
You ruined everything.
Get behind me.
Kara and Lena instruct each other in perfect unison. The result of which is, of course, that neither one of them moves.
I think you may be taking the bodyguard act a little too far, Lena hisses, clearly chagrined.
Kara steps forward and puts her body squarely between Lena and the woman in front of them.
Put the gun down, she demands.
Behind her, Lena gasps,
Your jacket!
Oh, shoot!
Kara twists her neck, trying to get a better look. The formerly crisp Ralph Lauren blazer is hanging off her shoulders, ripped to tatters at her back.
I'm so sorry, she tells Lena. Do you think we'll still get your deposit back?
Lena gawps at her, careful fingertips running down the exposed, uninjured skin over Kara's spine.
How are you not hurt?
Oh, Lena.
The woman steps closer, looking peeved at having to remind them of her presence.
You disappoint me. For the little girl who earned the nickname Vsiznaika from Garry Kasparov himself, you can be remarkably dense.
Lena steps in front of Kara this time, crossing her arms in front of her chest. Kara can see the movement of muscles in her jaw.
Mother!
Lena said it with a snarl, as if the second part of that word was supposed to follow. But when it doesn't, Kara pales with astonished disbelief.
Your mother? She shouts.
Adoptive, Lillian Luther corrects coolly, her gaze flickering over Lena's comparatively diminutive size with thinly veiled disdain.
Clearly.
Oh, says Wynn.
Fuck, says Alex.
I imagine you'd hope to pin the blame for tonight's debacle on me if it had succeeded, Lena says. I'm a little offended, considering the crudeness of your plan.
I wasn't expecting there to be enough of you left to offer a critique, Lillian says, as casually as if she's discussing the weather.
Lena meets it with a similarly removed derision.
I'm flattered you'd want to personally participate in the event of my death.
Last I heard, you and Nestle Mina CEO were having underwater mocktails at the Burj Al Arab.
Plans change, Lillian breezes. Tracking data can be so easily forged these days. Signals, so...
She takes a deep, satisfied breath,
effortlessly surveyed.
And then she says, darkly, her voice dripping with scorn when her eyes flicker significantly over to Kara.
That includes that lovesick epistle of yours, practically begging Supergirl here for a date.
And that's all the time Dr. Lillian Luther gets before 11 Secret Service agents tackle her to the ground. Hang on, Wynn says.
What now?
Alex stammers.
Did she just say?
Is that what that message was supposed to be? Wynn explodes.
An invitation for a date? Oh God, I'm never touching AI again. This is infuri-
Kara kills the comms device with a nudge of her knuckle. The silence is overwhelming after an evening of listening to the two of them bickering in her ear.
So, a date, huh?
She asks Lena softly, before the full weight of her deception comes crashing down on them both. Lena hums noncommittally. And here I was, thinking I'd been stood up. Her eyes linger on a spot midway down the side of Kara's neck. I guess that antidote patch I gave you went to waste. Kara slaps her hand to the place Lena's looking at, but there's nothing there.
What?
Mercy's brother tried to drug me earlier tonight. Drug you by association. I made sure he'll never... Lena stops herself and shakes her head. Never mind. Lena's face is as stoic as her mother's as she watches the agents haul Lillian away. The alias she'd called Kara still hangs in the cool night air between them, as potent as the smell of smoke and kicked-up sod.
Lena...
Kara doesn't even know where to start.
I'm...
She sighs. But Lena doesn't seem angry. She gives Kara a small, watery smile and says, Don't worry, your secret's safe with me. Kara isn't sure she's heard correctly.
You're not mad? She asks.
No. The twist of Lena's lips turns bitter. I imagine you were just being cautious. I am a Luther, after all. Kara reaches out to put a steadying hand on Lena's wrist. She only notices then that Lena's trembling.
You could have fooled me, she tells her softly.
Kara's phone rings in her pocket.
It's my sister, she says to Lena.
And to Alex, less than friendly, You're on speaker. Her sister sounds uncharacteristically contrite. The FBI is locking the place down until morning, she says. No one leaves. The threat's been neutralized, but since the president was involved, they're being extra cautious. You may want to, you know, whoosh your way out. Lena seems to know what that means. National City will want its hero back, she says.
I'm not going anywhere, Kara tells them both. Lena got me in by telling security I was her bodyguard. I'm not about to go missing from the scene and make things even harder for her.
Okay, Alex sighs. I get it. Just try not to blow your cover to the entire United States government.
Careful, Kara. Wynn jumps in on a sing-song. Leftfield Luther there seems like the type that would really make you earn that overtime.
He pauses.
Or should I say, those extra innings? Do you think that works better, you know, with the metaphor?
Shut up, Wynn, Alex barks at him. For crying out loud, you're on speaker.
Wynn gulps loudly enough for the mic to pick it up. 10-4, he says. Shot out.
Sorry about, you know,
Alex says, before the call disconnects. Lena has grown pale.
Well, she says, Lillian will be pleased to hear that her company wasn't even required to make sure my humiliation was complete.
Kara swerves closer to her as they start to cautiously plot out a safe path back to the outdoor grill to find Lena's shoes, bumping Lena's shoulder with her own.
Come on, she says. It's not that bad.
Really? Lena says.
A government agency, which apparently includes your sister, listening in live as I was hitting on you over and over and over again, is not that bad?
Kara's cheeks grow hot.
You were not.
Lena looks at her.
You were not, Kara says. In fact, I distinctly remember you telling me it wasn't the time or the place.
You're right, Lena says. Now that I think about it, you were much more embarrassing than me. Kara is too eager to comfort Lena to mind her conversational step.
Believe me, she says, if anyone should be embarrassed about what happened here tonight, it's my sister and her so-called software specialist.
Lena stops until Kara does too. There's more you're not telling me.
Nope.
Why were you...
Hey,
Kara says with exaggerated enthusiasm. You know what will be fun and probably require all of your attention? Figuring out where we're sleeping tonight. The singular room they put Kara and Lena up in is luxurious and large, but strangely, there's only one bed.
That's okay, Kara breezes.
She shoves her hands deep into the pockets of her tattered jacket,
her grin faltering when she unearthed the crushed remains of the fruit tart she'd buried there before.
I probably wasn't going to get much sleep tonight anyway.
Lena watches her with a sort of quiet intensity that makes Kara's, still tragically empty stomach, tumble.
No, Lena says, her voice like dark chocolate. I wasn't planning on that either.
Kara tucks her fingers into fists to stop herself from wiggling them. Lena's overtures were one thing when they were happening in a public space, but now that they're alone together, locked in their own private room, they feel like a distinctly different thing.
So, Kara says, I suppose I'm Supergirl.
Lena's eyebrow ticks up, amused.
Right, she says. I think I heard someone mention that.
She moves her body in such an artful way that Kara nearly misses that she's closed the distance between them, and then tugs at Kara's jacket until she shrugs it off. Kara glances at her over her shoulder.
Did you really not have even a slight suspicion? She says. Some of the things you said tonight.
Oh, Lena says.
Wait, do you mean the bodyguard ruse?
Kara feels a little foolish.
You called me a hero.
Lena lets out a self-deprecating laugh.
My hero, she recalls.
I didn't realize you weren't just mine. It comes out sounding a little wry. Kara reaches for her, grabbing Lena's fingers and squeezing them softly.
I'm sorry I didn't tell you.
Lena shakes her head.
I mean, we've only known each other for all of, what is it, 3 weeks?
Long enough, Kara whispers.
Long enough, Lena echoes,
her jaw tilted up and her eyelashes slanting down, her gaze holding steady at Kara's lips. It's kind of giving her the impression that Lena is no longer talking about the Supergirl thing.
About that kiss, Kara says.
Lena's pale eyes flash up to meet hers.
Yes.
I would really like to do that again, Kara says. Like if now is not, I mean, if it's not the right... She watches Lena's smile stretch into a grin as Kara stammers, and she blushes fiercely, resisting the urge to hide behind her hands.
How do normal people do this? She asks.
Easy, Lena says. She cups the back of Kara's head, gently tugging her closer, and presses her lips to hers. When Kara daydreamed about this happening, before she and Lena so very suddenly got here, she had imagined a sort of sped-up movie reel of moments that she never once actually believed would one day lead to this. She'd pictured the two of them talking in rare quiet moments, a drawn-out interview, lingering after late shared lunch, commiserating about happy memories, joking around about the ones that were too painful to solemnly discuss. Kara had envisioned asking Lena all of life's most pertinent questions, like, why do clouds always look vaguely like England? And, if Kirby can inhale whatever he wants, what would happen if two Kirbys tried to inhale each other at the same time? Kara will have to remember to do all of that soon, now that this is actually happening. Lena's mouth is hot and eager when the kiss shifts from a tender press to plumb lips parting, inviting Kara in. She does this maddening little thing where the very tip of her tongue laps at the soft inside of Kara's top lip, slight, tickling glances that make Kara's whole mouth tingle. Kara chases the movement, chases it with her own tongue, humming when she finds her, melting, mesmerized by the slow way they glide together. Her hand flies to Lena's nape, a gentle caress turning into a firm grip when Lena keeps slipping away just to make Kara catch her again. Lena's breath hitches when she does, and Kara feels it in her toes. A deep gratification at the thought that that was her, that she's the one who made that sound happen. But impatience makes Kara clumsy. The kiss turns chaotic when she changes course, their smooth, synchronized slide of their mouths devolving into a frantic pursuit, their rhythm lost, and eventually Lena breaks away for air, though she grabs the front of Kara's shirt with both hands to keep her close.
I'm sorry, Kara says. Too much too soon?
God, no. Lena pants into her mouth.
You just surprise me, that's all.
She huffs out a curt, incredulous laugh.
This is not the way I imagined the evening would pan out.
Kara can't resist.
You thought you had a date with Supergirl, she teases, and you didn't think you'd get at least a kiss?
Lena tilts her head, studying her. From Supergirl, sure, she allows, her fingers playing with Kara's collar. She does strike me as someone who knows what she wants. Her thumbs slip beneath Kara's shirt, landing on the jut of her collarbones. The contact is electric, but brief. Kara swallows, and Lena moves her hands, straightening the fabric. But, she points out, Kara Danvers made it very clear to me that she wanted to be my friend. Kara frowns, remembering.
Yeah, I did, she snorts. Even though my cousin told me I looked lovestruck the day you and I first met.
Lena looks fond for a moment, and then her features flatten, her eyes growing wide. Oh my God, she says, stumbling backwards a step. Clark Kent is Superman.
I don't know what you're talking about, Kara bluffs. Can we get back to the kissing part?
Lena regards her for another beat, and then she pulls Kara into her mouth. Her urgency more closely matches Kara's this time. Lena tucks her down, tipping both of their bodies off balance, relying on Kara's strength not to let her fall. The position isn't unlike the one they were in mere hours ago, on the dance floor. Except this time, Kara notes with a bright, thrilling kind of joy, her touch is allowed to linger. So she lets her hands roam freely. She traces the jut of Lena's hip bone with her thumbs, glides her fingertips over the sleek fabric of her dress, revels in the way the lush curves of Lena's hip and waist give way beneath her palms. Lena's body seems to come alive under Kara's hands. Her muscles twitch and flex, as if she's trying to push herself in closer, even though there's barely enough room for breath between them both. Her fingers grapple and claw at Kara's shoulders, further ripping the back of her shirt, until she finally manages to pull both it and Kara's tank top off over her head. And then she draws back and just stares at Kara for a little while. Right, Kara realizes. Lena probably assumed she was wearing a bra. She flexes a little, to really give her a show, grinning when Lena's ears go bright red at the sight. My God, Lena breathes. Can I? When Kara nods, Lena reaches up and gently tugs off Kara's glasses. You really look the part, don't you? Lena says. A bona fide, card-carrying superhero. Kara rolls her eyes at her, but kindly. You saved like 500 lives tonight. Yes, with my brain, Lena specifies. I can't even do a push-up. You have abs. Her fingers thumb down them, a gentle, tickling percussion. She swallows. I once watched you deadlift an airplane on live TV. Hey, Kara seeks out Lena's eyes and gives her a soft look. You know I'd never hurt you, right? Lena's pupils dilate noticeably. Is that negotiable? She rasps, licking out at her bottom lip. No, Kara balks, startled. Lena's mouth snaps shut in what looks like a suspicious lot like a pout, and then she shrugs. Probably for the best. I doubt my medical insurance covers acts of an actual god. Her hands come down to grab Kara's own, moving them to her ass and encouraging her to press in her fingers more firmly, no longer merely inviting Kara's touch, but downright demanding it. Kara stumbles, lightheaded at the feel of her, full and round and supple beneath her palms. She backs Lena up a few steps, pushing her up against the wood wall paneling. It's a choice she makes mostly to make sure they don't fall over, but when Kara pins Lena's hips between the wall and her own body, she's rewarded with a sweet, breathy moan Kara had never dared imagine she would one day hear Lena Luthor make. She indulges in it for a luxurious moment, in the feeling of pliant flesh yielding beneath her hands, in all the soft sighs Lena allows Kara to coax from her. But judging by the increasingly urgent way Lena's hips twitch up into Kara's own, and the lightning feeling that sparks up Kara's spine each time Lena grinds their bodies together, it's probably time to slow things down a sec. Kara asks, Can we break, just for a minute? Lena is so beautiful. Her cheeks are flushed, her long hair tousled, the outline of her lipstick no longer sharp. She looks equal parts doubtful and wrecked. But she nods. There's an overstuffed loveseat at the end of the bed, Kara plops down on it sideways, tugging Lena down beside her, their fingers tangling.
So, she says, trying to ignore the heat of Lena's hip and thigh wedged close against her skin. I haven't actually done this sort of thing very often.
With a woman? Lena clarifies. Or... She starts massaging the muscles of Kara's thumb when she trails off. Kara feels it everywhere.
One guy in high school, senior year, she says, and not successfully, which, according to the lecture I received from Alex before I started college, was probably for the best.
Why is that?
Super strength.
Lena's eyebrows twitch up. Ah, she says delicately. I see. All of your muscles are...
Super-duper strong, yeah, Kara says, including the, involuntarily contracting ones.
She licks her lips, admiring the way Lena takes it in stride. Also just, you know, admiring Lena in general. Duly noted. Lena's gaze dips down Kara's body before flicking back up at her face. But you're able to hold back the strength in the ones you do control, even if things were to get heated here tonight. Kara tries not to squirm when Lena moves one of her hands, the pad of her middle finger dragging a suggestive line over the tensing muscle of Kara's thigh.
Absolutely, Kara rasps. Gosh, yes.
I can work with that. Lena's voice is so dark and teasing, Kara is sure it will haunt her fantasies for the rest of her remaining years. Though, if we're both being completely candid. She draws in close until her lips brush Kara's ear and then murmurs, I happen to enjoy it when these encounters take a more vigorous turn, so don't hold back too much. Kara's whispered row is swallowed by the welcoming heat of Lena's mouth. This time, when Lena tangles her fingers in Kara's hair, she pulls. It's a slightly gentler, but still not all that gentle, encore of Lena's attempted escape maneuver in the garden earlier tonight, and it triggers something reflexive in Kara, some sort of instinctual impulse to pull Lena in tight, to keep her from running away from her again. Her hands slip around Lena's hips, spread wide over her ass, and knee down hard. The startled sound Lena squeaks out in response has Kara momentarily panicked that she's gone too far. But no, Lena only opens herself up more. She climbs fully into Kara's lap, her thighs slotting around Kara's waist, and draws her hips into her abs. The sound Lena makes then is drawn out and filthy, and Kara is walloped by a wave of sudden, insatiable hunger. Kara tries to hide her breathlessness in the curve where Lena's neck meets her shoulder, but that somehow only makes the wanting worse. Lena's sweet fragrance is stronger here, that curious spiced cherry scent that's been catching her attention all evening. She nuzzles at it, licks out at it, and, when that fails to satisfy her, grazes it with her teeth, nibbling at the skin just beneath Lena's ear. Lena's answering gasp pours low in Kara's belly, overriding the plight of her empty stomach in favor of a much more urgent need. She craves Lena, craves all of her. Kara aches for her in a way she can't remember ever aching before. She wants to follow the soft sounds Lena's making with her mouth, her teeth, her fingers. She needs to press in closer, press inside her, until there isn't a single inch of her left uncharted. She needs to chase Lena's pleasure all the way down to its source and drink her down until both of them are sated. Kara gathers the material of Lena's dress until it tucks loose from beneath her body. Her palm finally meets skin midway up the inner curve of Lena's thigh, and she strokes out at it, softly, with her thumb, until Lena's breath starts coming out in stuttered sighs. Lena's hushed words bounce against Kara's lips when she says, I'm going to need you to take off my dress now. They both need to stand up to do it, and even then it takes Kara a few moments of fruitless fumbling, the scorching kiss that follows Lena's demand messing her up a couple of times. But they manage, eventually. The sound of the zipper is thunderous in the quiet room. Kara's superhearing keeps bouncing in and out of focus. Somewhere in southern Arizona, a mockingbird greets the dusk. Lena's heart is beating so loud and fast that Kara detects the smallest murmur, which she should probably tell her about.
And back in National City, Alex is playing solitaire while listening to the Paula Cole album that will always remind Kara of the first summer she spent on Earth. By the end of it, Lena's dress is a shimmering puddle of emerald, pooled on the floor around her feet. Lena doesn't preen or fluster at what must truly look like Kara blinking, about 50,000 times in the span of 10 seconds. She unbuckles Kara's belt, pops the button of her chinos, and wrenches the fabric down her legs. She waits for Kara to kick them free of her ankles and to tow off her shoes and socks. And then, Lena throws herself into her arms. Kara is momentarily lost, floundering for the right way to catch her, unsure whether, where, and how she's allowed to touch her, now that at least 95% of her skin is bare, and the rest is peeking out from behind brazenly seductive black lace. Lena makes Kara's mind up for her. She takes both of Kara's hands into her own, guiding one up over her breast and pulling the other down so she can press it between her legs. Cheese and fricking rice! Kara is immediately, irrevocably, lost in her. The sensory overload is world-shattering, but only in the best possible way. Beneath the raspy fabric of her lingerie, Lena is soft and ready, pliant under the pads of Kara's fingers, hard against the center of her palms. Her body feels like an invocation, like reaching, like pleading, an eager, undulating insistence for Kara to push in closer, firmer, further, there, God, yes, right there. Kara would rather die than let these demands go unanswered. She nuzzles into the curve of Lena's neck, kissing that sensitive, fragrant spot beneath her ear, and indulges. Lena moans when Kara traps her nipple between her fingers and her thumb and rolls it gently. Then less gently, until the perfect pressure makes Lena's body feel like it's melting into Kara's own. Her hips jump into Kara's other hand, and she's so hot there, so needy that the flimsy fabric between her legs is already soaked through. Kara can't imagine she herself is faring much better, with the heady sounds Lena is making, the way she's panting into her hair as she chases Kara's touch. Kara presses the pads of her fingers up more firmly, moving experimentally over what she knows must be Lena's clit. When Lena releases a warbled cry to signal her approval, Kara is the one who sees fireworks. "Fuck," Lena says. But when Kara lifts her up off the floor, ready to carry her to their bed, she grabs Kara's shoulders. "Wait," she says. And then she asks, her voice still breathy but her face suddenly very serious, "Is this a bad idea?" Kara sets her gingerly back down, immediately apologetic. The feeling is similar to the guilt she used to experience during routine traffic stops back in Midvale, wondering every single time, what if I actually stole this car by accident and just never realized? But then Lena takes both of her hands in her own, and Kara relaxes. "My mother is going to be out by morning," Lena projects. "These things never stick, and you hurt her." One of her hands comes up to cover Kara's chest, as if the supersuit's emblem is imprinted on Kara's skin. "In her eyes, it doesn't matter what you do," she says bitterly. "It matters what you are. To her, you'll never be anything but a dangerous alien in need of extermination." Kara is struck by a sudden, blinding insight into the origin of Lena's self-castigating tendencies, and the various ways in which society has only ever seen fit to further reinforce them. She squares her jaw, resolving to herself to work harder to help Lena prove that everyone has been getting the youngest Luther all wrong. "Lillian has it backwards," Kara says, "and I'm not afraid of her." "Maybe you should be," Lena says. "If you think you're on her bad side now, wait until she finds out that her daughter's in..." She cuts herself off. "Enamored with you," she swerves, biting her lip. Kara grins, fairly sure that it wasn't all Lena was about to admit to. "I can take her," she says, her confidence returning. Lena's lip tucks free of her teeth at her words, her eyes glinting with mischief. Kara shakes her head in warning, "Don't!" Lena gives her a dark, knowing look that absolutely liquefies her. "I'd hoped your taste skewed a tad bit younger," she drawls. Her palm glides down Kara's chest to cup her breast, her thumb grazing her nipple in a maddening tease. "Stop trying to turn me off,"
Kara says. It's not going to work. And then she pulls one of Lena's smirking lips between her teeth and nips at it, grinning when Lena sighs. The lace is inconsequential in the end. It disappears before Lena's back even hits the sheets. But then Kara's in a new kind of trouble. The pallor and softness that are revealed in the absence of Lena's lingerie reminds Kara irrepressibly of fresh bread, or rather, of the act of baking, of hand-braided, hollowed, of spiced pizza dough, and smoothly rolled buns set aside to rise before the oven turns it all to gold. As soon as the thought occurs to her, Kara's appetite roars back to life with almost all-consuming force. But this time, it isn't Kara's stomach that's growling. The primal sound claws up inside her chest instead, pressing past her vocal cords. It's as impossible to keep it from spilling out as it is to hold back the disturbing, barbaric, seriously, geez, impulse. She feels to feast on Lena's body the same way she'd feast on a high holiday dinner, to devour the tender resplendence laid out for her, calling out to her, inviting her to eat. But Lena welcomes her appetite. Better yet, she actively encourages it. She answers Kara's tremulous rumble with a throaty moan, her back arching sharply when Kara digs her thumbs into the fleshiest parts of her. She rewards Kara with a kicked-up thigh she can grind down on, humming with satisfaction when Kara slots it between her legs. And when Kara brings the tips of her fingers to Lena's lips, during what's becoming an increasingly feral kiss, Lena nips at them, inviting them into the soft heat of her mouth. Kara draws back and watches, hypnotized, as Lena begins sucking on her fingers with an eager, aching tenderness. And suddenly, there isn't a single thing in the entire endless expanse of the universe as important to Kara Zor-El as finding out what Lena Luthor tastes like when she comes. She nibbles her way down Lena's body as if she's a decadent, bountiful buffet, tasting, licking, nipping at her skin. She takes in all of her, the supple yield of her body, slick and pale and pliant like the surface of a flawless soft-boiled egg. The sight of her, radiant and flushed, bruised in all the places Kara has sampled. By the time Kara's mouth reaches the delicate junction of Lena's thighs, she's half-drunk on Lena's gasps and sobs. As it turns out, Lena likes to beg. It comes out in an endless stream of prayer-like whispers, "Please, please, please," spilling from her lips. She begs her, even as Kara parts her with her tongue, even as she sucks her clit into her mouth, even when Kara pushes those same two fingers inside her, stifling a moan of her own at the heat that envelops them. Lena pleads with her, as Kara drives her hard and fast toward an unmistakable peak, emboldened by the strangled quality Lena's voice takes on as Kara urges her closer, angling her fingers and keeping up a constant pulsing pressure on her clit, drinking Lena in, wishing she could drown inside her. Lena begs for Kara all the way to the very edge of her climax. And then she abruptly falls silent. Her back arches high off the bed, her mouth open on a silent scream, and then she bucks her hips. Once, twice. Almost, but not nearly, not really, no way. Throwing Kara off. Before she dissolves into a series of shudders, choking out a high, delighted moan. Kara licks her own lips as she watches her come down. Lena looks satisfied, but her clit is still twitching against Kara's hand. "Can we do that again?" she rasps. Lena looks down at her through heavily lidded eyes, her chest rapidly falling and rising as she tries to catch her breath. "That would be rude of you," she says, reaching down to glide her thumb along Kara's bottom lip. "Cutting in line like that, when I've been waiting so patiently for my turn." "Oh," Kara says. "I mean, I definitely wouldn't want to offend." Lena rises with surprising agility, quicker than Kara herself would have, generally preferring to bask in the afterglow, pulling her up and then straddling her. The wet heat of her presses against Kara's belly, making it swoop. "If it's all right with you," Lena says, "I'd love to return the favor first."
"Yes, please,"
Kara breathes, trying not to get caught up in the inherent promise in Lena's final word. Lena appears to be much more patient going after Kara's pleasure than she had been when she was chasing her own. Kara had given her answer with what she believed was obvious urgency, but Lena spends what feels like, considering how close Kara was to coming even without Lena's hot mouth and brilliant fingers doing the things she's doing to her now, a nearly unsurvivable amount of time and attention on Kara's breasts and belly and thighs. She leans over her, her hair an inky curtain trailing down Kara's body, kissing down the jutting bone of Kara's hip, the seam of her thigh, the ticklish places at her waist, as if testing how far she can push Kara without making her lose control. She's cutting it pretty close, Kara fears. She groans at the feeling of Lena's breath glancing off her, acutely aware of how wet she must be. By the time Lena is finally satisfied with her findings, there's only a single miserable inch between Lena's mouth and the place where Kara wants it most. Lena looks up at her with a wicked smile, and then she licks a slow, wet, teasing stripe up to the very top of the inside of Kara's thigh. Kara nearly comes out of her skin when she does it.
"Rao, have mercy," she gasps.
Lena freezes, her eyes wide.
"Oh, shit."
She slides backwards off the bed, still nude.
"What?"
Kara asks, trying to blink out of her daze.
"Where are you?"
Lena's butt jiggles enticingly as she sprints across the room. "I have to make a call real quick."
"Right now?"
Kara yelps. "Remember Mercy Graves?" Lena asks while she waits for the line to connect. The crescent moon shining in through the window bathes her body in an almost otherworldly light.
"Yeah, I shoved her through a portal to my pueblo in New Mexico. It's..." "Hi, Hector. Thank God. Listen, I'm going to need you to run a tiny interstate errand for me."
Kara pushes herself upright when Lena wraps up the call.
"So is Mercy just running around Roswell right now?" she asks. "Should the little green men worry for their lives?"
"Oh no, my place is a fortress," Lena says, waving her off. "All of my houses are. No one gets in or out without my biometrics and the access codes." "Now..." She crawls back up the bed and over Kara's thighs, pressing her fingers into Kara's belly to push her back onto her elbows. "I believe I was in the middle of something." Kara swallows around her suddenly very dry throat, nodding.
"Please, yeah, go... Oh."
Lena licks into her with a broad, confident stroke, never breaking eye contact. She's showy about it, cheeky, almost fiendish. Kara lets out a wordless sob, falling back onto the bed, her fingers grappling for perches on the comforter, the headboard, her own hips. Lena's breath is warm against her, her tongue sliding between her, her plush lips grazing Kara's clit. She starts out teasing, an unhurried exploration of Kara's most sensitive spots, only applying more pressure and speed when Kara starts to roll her hips up into her mouth. Kara can't stop looking at her. She keeps lifting her head just so she can watch.
"Lena,"
she gasps, her voice barely a whisper. I'm
not gonna last."
It only makes Lena hum with satisfaction before going even harder after her clit, capturing it in the tight seal of her lips as she laves it with her tongue, driving Kara towards an increasingly inevitable peak.
"Don't worry," Lena says hoarsely,
briefly replacing her tongue with the pad of her thumb when Kara whines out a sound that's equal parts transcendent pleasure and pained protest. She holds Kara's gaze, one eyebrow curving up, eyes blazing, the corners of her mouth smug.
"I'm just getting started."
Kara is helpless against the adept insistence of Lena's mouth. Her body locks, caught between too much and not enough, and then the pressure snaps and everything spills over. Kara feels like she's been thrown from her own body and straight into the stars. She's blinded by the supernova of absolute relief, finally, finally, all this time, and she'd not even known what she was starving for, not until it was offered up to her like this. When Kara finally returns to her corporeal form, Lena is watching her like she's the one who's famished. Kara believes it's the hottest thing she'll ever experience. But Lena seems intent on exceeding every single one of Kara's expectations. Lena drags her thumb over her slippery bottom lip and winks.
"So," she says, "room service?"
Lena showers while Kara calls in their order, and when Kara steps out of the bathroom, the food is already laid out. The attendants have brought in several extra tables to provide enough room for it all, and even then, Kara's various plates end up all over their bed. Even when, at various points, other appetites win out again.
Not a bad date, Lena assesses, all things considered.
They curl toward each other on the bed, half-full plates scattered around them. Kara's head is resting on the soft curve at the inside of Lena's knee. It's a funny thing, Kara thinks. Their head technically been a date. Kara even showed up for it in time, but neither she nor Lena had realized that in the moment.
I guess you never got my invitation, Lena says, tantalizing fingers tickling up the back of Kara's calf.
How lucky that you were here to get a scoop on the president's campaign.
Sure, Kara says. Lucky.
And after a moment, so how did you try to get a message to me?
Well, Lena says, making a face. I knew Supergirl works with the DEO, but obviously I wouldn't want a message of such a personal nature to be read by half the staff.
Kara laughs.
So you encrypted it?
Why is that funny?
Because Wynne had a very tough time trying to decode it.
You're a software specialist, Lena guesses. And then, darkly, so it did get to you.
Kind of, Kara allows. But Wynne's AI said you had plans to capture Supergirl.
Lena balks, blanching.
I said no such thing. And that you plan to leave no witnesses to tell the tale.
Lena squawks. I said it would be an opportunity for us to connect in more of an intimate setting.
There was also something about testing my vulnerabilities?
Lena blinks. She clears her throat. She swallows.
Maybe, she says, at long last, avoiding Kara's eyes. It's for the best that this win of yours didn't get to see the actual contents of my message.
Kara grins.
Maybe next time you could try asking me out in person, she says. You know, like a normal human would.
Lena's lips purse in an attractive pout.
Maybe next time, she intones, you can be the brave one first.
Kara hums. I think next time we can skip the part where the president almost gets blown up.
Does that mean we can also forgo the 50K price tag? Lena asks. And my mother dropping by.
Kara giggles out her assent, and then shoves an entire wedge of brie into her mouth. She swallows it without chewing. Lena stares at her.
I don't know how I missed you being an alien before all this, she says.
Kara shrugs, unbothered, picking food off of several trays at once. In between Kara enjoying her feast and Lena acquainting herself intimately with every single one of Supergirl's vulnerabilities, Kara pauses only once, and that's to check, as surreptitiously as she can manage, for signs of a black mercy, reassuring herself that all of this isn't just a beautiful, impossible dream. It's hard to tell, really, with everything being so exquisitely perfect. Lena's used towel has been hastily discarded on the bed, soaking the sheet. The nail on one of her big toes is a funny bean-like shape, as if part of it is missing. She makes infrequent humming noises at the back of her throat as she eats, and she seems to have decided, after an orgasm or three, that Kara's intermittent carb-loading sessions provide a unique opportunity to ask her every single question she's apparently been curious about for a while.
Don't look at me like that, Lena chides her as she sucks on her fork. Your power of flight is one of physics' greatest mysteries. There is no visible propulsion, and the aerodynamics are questionable at best. You just rise. And I think, in the name of scientific transparency, I am obligated to ask...
All of these things, Kara believes deeply, are details a Black Mercy would never be able to get right. Or, at least she really hopes so. Because this time, Kara fears, she may actually murder her sister if she attempts to interrupt. The End.